Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Today, I have the honor and the privilege of being joined by my former head coach at Baldwin-Wallace University. He's now the assistant athletic director, somebody who I really learned a lot from in the time that I spent at BW, and I hope he's going to be able to share some things to help coaches today. I'm sure he will. So welcome to the podcast, Coach John Snell. John, great to have you here.
Keith, I appreciate the opportunity. I've been waiting to get a spot on your podcast. You've had some great people, and it's an honor for me to be with you. So I appreciate it very much. And let me say, it was also an honor to have you as part of the staff here. So
thank you, John. Yeah, and listeners, you've heard me talk about some of the things John has done before and all kinds of different things. I could think off the top of my head when we talked about putting together goals that are team-oriented. That's a podcast I'll link in the show notes where we talked about something John did. I know we brought it up, our topic today with Randolph Macon's coach, Pedro Arruza, talking about a coaches summit that John did. And I believe also we talked about some of the things John did with special teams as well as, you know, mock game. And I think we included some of that in our one of our show notes that we did with Bobby April. So I'll be sure to link all those things. I know, John, I've mentioned you other times or ideas. If I didn't give you credit, I certainly apologize, because like I said, I've been able to pick up a lot from you over the years, even before I started coaching there. And, you know, I'm really excited to share this idea today. I did a survey of coaches on Twitter the other day and asked how they were going to learn. And the one category that won was the online or digital version of learning. However, when I looked at the two kind of live versions where you actually meet with people, one was clinics and one was meeting with staff, and those two together slightly outpaced the digital learning. So I think there's a lot of value to be able to sit down with other people, people who are in similar situations as you, people who maybe have experienced the success that you want. And so what Coach Snell did, and really I think you did this for quite a while, John, but he put together what he called a head coaches summit. So he would bring in Division III coaches from around the country. They'd come to our campus, and I can't remember how long. I'll let you get into the details of it, John, but they would spend time with coach and really share ideas. So it was kind of an open clinic format. Guys sat down and discussed things that maybe they were struggling with, maybe they wanted to learn about. And I know you always brought some great things back to us from that. So before we get into the details of it, though, John, share with us, I guess, what sparked this idea, or how did you come up with the idea to create this and bring these guys together?
Well, it was, I can't remember who we were talking with, but as a staff, Adam Howard and myself had talked about bringing other coaches in and just talking about different ideas. And I think from that, we came up with the idea, hey, geez, let's invite some other Division III head coaches in. You know, as you and I talked earlier, I think I always felt it was important to talk with our staff and get ideas from the staff, but I really thought it was good to hear from other Division III head coaches and hear what they're doing and be able to discuss different ideas from those different coaches. So somehow, some way, somewhere, we came up with the idea of let's invite 3 to 4 coaches in, and we'll spend a day and a half or a full day discussing different topics. And, you know, at whatever point you want me to, I'll give a little more detail to exactly what the format of it. But we just, again, talking through with different coaches is what we somehow came up with that idea.
When I look at this, this really can be applied to kind of any position on a football staff. So I love the idea of, you know, the head coaches for sure. But if I was thinking of this in a different way, you know, as an offensive coordinator, I could sit down with offensive coordinators. As a defensive line coach, I could bring in other defensive line coaches. So while we're going to talk about this from a head coach perspective, it certainly can apply to those other positions as well.
That's exactly right, Keith. As a matter of fact, that is where eventually I was going to. I my next thought was, let's invite, you know, offense coordinators in, so they'll have their own little summit, and then defense coordinators have their own little summit, and then us as head coaches have our own little summit. So that was really the next progression of the head coach summit, was doing it with you know, our position coaches and coordinators, which I think is a really good idea as well.
Definitely. And I think you can relate to this, John. And I remember as a head high school coach, it was probably, I think it was in after my third or fourth year, I had the honor of being named to the North South coaching staff here, our big all-star game in Ohio. And the other coaches on the staff were head high school coaches. I met Matt Duffy at Willoughby South here. I met Jason Hall, who ended up being the head coach at Maslin, and then just stepped away from coaching. He was at Westlake High School, but really found in being able to talk to those guys that I could get perspective on things in a different way that I might not be able to get from my coaching staff. And it's not that my coaching staff wasn't knowledgeable. It was just that they didn't face some of the things that I had to face within my role as the head coach. So, you know, I became fast friends with those guys. I can remember that first year we talked, you know, the three of us to each other just about every day. And it was, you know, to be able to have somebody who's just that sounding board sometimes that you can bounce something off of and get that outside perspective, I think helps you as a coach. And I think that's what you were able to create here.
Yeah, no question about it, Keith. I mean, as you know, I mean, you had head coaching experience, and Jim had head coaching experience. So, I mean, I had guys on the staff that had that, but it was really good to hear from other head coaches at the Division III level how and why and what, you know, they were doing. It was a great sounding board for me, and I think for them as well, to hear, you know, what each of us were doing. So that was, I think, a huge advantage, or I guess, plus about doing that summit with other Division III head coaches. We were, and the other thing I tried to do is have Division III coaches that had similar situations as us. You know, they had JV programs, they had large rosters, you know, we're in a competitive conference. I mean, so being able to bounce things off of guys that were in similar situations, I think was very beneficial.
And I know, John, from that, you know, I think some of those guys weren't always people that you were friends with or that you knew really outside of coaching, but I know you developed a lot of relationships from those staff summits too.
Yeah, I really developed some great friendships. Mike Leonard, as you've spoken with, who I just found out, I don't know if you know, Keith, stepped down at Franklin, who is a phenomenal football coach, a phenomenal person. I mean, he came back to the summit, I think, three years in a row, and was just a tremendous person to speak with. You know, he'd come in on Sunday and spend the night at my house, and we'd spend a lot of time talking. But, you know, there were so many good coaches. Pedro Ruzza, as you mentioned, Greg Debelak at Case, Mike Sirianni, Joe Fincham at Wittenberg. I mean, we had some tremendous people that came in and spent the day with us that, you know, again, I learned so much from in the matter of our days spent together.
And John, I know you are a very detailed oriented person, so that you didn't just invite them in and wing it. Like, you, I'm sure, had a set agenda and list of things that you wanted to cover. So talk to us about exactly the, you know, the format and how you guys went about this.
Yeah, there was a very strict format to it, Keith. I gave each coach five topics that they could bring up in the summit. And that was it, five only. And what we would do is we would essentially go around, and each person would bring up their topic, and then all of us would respond to his question or topic. So, for example, and none of it was X and O's. It was you know, ideas of how do you run your off-season program, or what do you do in the preseason? What's your discipline philosophy? So none of it was X and O based. It was all different ideas from your program. So, you know, again, if somebody, their number one topic was let's talk about your preseason practice format, well, then each of us would then either give our preseason practice format on paper to everyone, or and then we'd discuss it and talk about how are you doing this and how long you practice and how many meetings are you having. We just try to go through the whole idea of what your preseason practices were. So I tried to have a cutoff to make sure we would be able to get through everybody's five topics. So again, we had a very strict format in terms of how we wanted to do it, and I wanted to make sure that everybody was able to get through all of their topics. So yeah, it was again very organized. I thought the coaches were very receptive and organized. John Marska is another one that we had from Albright, who he brought everything that he had on paper from about his program, and it was outstanding. I mean, and he shared everything with all the coaches. I mean, it was really, really good that coaches were, open to sharing.
John, I know you had these guys prepare their five topics that they wanted to learn about. I'm just interested, did they share that with you, that here's what, Coach Fincham is bringing in from Wittenberg and he wants to learn about? Did you share that with the other coaches, or was it just the discussion then that opened up on that day?
No, they had to send it to me by email first. So each coach would send me his five topics, and then I shared it with all the other coaches so everybody knew what the topics were from each coach so they could prepare when they came to the meeting. So again, like I said, John Marska brought information on all the different topics that all the coaches had, said they wanted to discuss, which again, I thought was outstanding. So yeah, I shared that information with each coach before we actually had the summit, so they knew exactly what was going to be discussed.
John, as you look back at all of those, and I know you brought a lot of great ideas from those, back to our coaching staff and to our program. I'm just thinking back on some of those, maybe pick a few that you felt really made a difference for you in, the program that we built at Baldwin Wallace.
Oh, wow, Keith, that's a tough one, because there were so many good things. A lot of it,
I know.
A lot of it, I have to say was confirmation that, we were doing, I think, the right things with our program. For some reason, I don't know why, but this stands out as something that was kind of unique that we had implemented, that actually Eric Rayburn, who at the time was at Wabash, had said that they were doing in their program. And it was, I don't know if you remember, where we did the challenge push-ups. So the idea was anybody in the program could challenge somebody else to push-ups if they couldn't do something. For example, hey, if you can hit the crossbar with a throw, I'll do 10 push-ups, or somebody would challenge you, hey, you hit the crossbar, or you got to do 10 push-ups. And it just became a competitive thing within the program. I mean, I remember seeing guys when we were in lunch in the cafeteria line, and guys were challenging guys, and next thing you know, they're getting down and doing push-ups right there in the middle of the cafeteria while they're in line to get their, their lunch. But, it created a competition within the kids. It created, this fun thing that they could all do together. And I just loved it. It was, again, it was different. I don't know how much it helped us win, but I think it just, as I said, created a unique competition within the program that I thought was really different.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of what we did there did create the competition. It was fun, too. And I can remember, yeah, those push-up challenges. I tried to stay away from them as much as possible.
Actually, if you remember, one of the funniest things was when one of our players commented to you about your push-ups.
That's right. Yeah, he was being strict on my form. Yeah, that's after that one, I stayed away from it for sure. again, any other ideas, John? Maybe one other idea that sticks out in your mind, because I can remember not all of them off the top of my head, but there was always something after that summit that you'd bring to us and would be, something that we hadn't thought about before.
Well, you know, Mike Leonard, as I mentioned, who I absolutely love and just think is, you know, one of the best in the business, had some things that he had presented to recruits, and he had some materials that he'd given to recruits on their visits. It really sparked some thoughts in me in terms of, this is some information that I need to provide to kids when they come on campus. And there were some things that he had talked about in his recruiting presentation that I thought was really good. And so I had kind of stolen some of his ideas on recruiting and recruiting presentations when kids would visit campus. And then, you know, Mike had such a kind of a unique approach to coaching and dealing with kids and dealing with the staff, you know, that I can't give exactly, you know, what I had taken from it, but it was so different and so, you know, authentic that I said, you know, somehow I'm not going to be Mike Leonard, but I really think that some of his ideas and his approach are worth implementing just for me personally. And he's a guy that, you know, I have great respect for, that I thought did some really, really good things for his program. And there were so many things from all those coaches that were so good that, again, we could stay on the phone all day talking about all the different things that we got. But I really liked what Mike Leonard brought to the table. But as I said, there were so many other good things. We had some great coaches that met with us.
Yeah, John, I remember some of that recruiting stuff. In fact, his recruiting pamphlet that went out with in the mail to the recruits. I mean, when you say we stole it, we straight stole that, John. I think we just changed the colors and took out where it said Grizzlies and put in Yellow Jackets. Like, it was really, it was good stuff, especially at that time, just to be able to share that with, you know, a snapshot with our prospective student athletes of, here's who we are. And I mean, we were, you know, very successful in bringing kids to campus and bringing in our classes and finding, you know, some great guys. Getting guys to BW was never really a problem for us. So I think some of it was that, though. I remember, you know, and I think it could have been at the time I took over as recruiting coordinator that we started implementing that stuff, and it certainly made a difference.
Yeah, he has some really good thoughts when it came to recruiting. Very, very personable. And, you know, he had some, you know, simple things that I think were just that really, you know, kind of stay with you. You know, his branding was, you know, brilliant. Grizzly Ball. I mean, there was a huge sign, if you remember, at their place. There was a huge sign that just said Grizzly Ball. And I mean, I just remember that thing stood out. And, you know, so he did some, again, really good things with branding that got the Franklin football information out there, the Franklin name out there. And, you know, when you think of Franklin, you think Grizzlies, you know, it's just, and that was him, I think.
John, on the flip side of things, with ideas that you shared, what's one that sticks out that a coach came back to you, you know, maybe later in that next off season or later down the line and said, you know, this idea you shared really made a difference for us?
Oh yeah, that's another tough question. I think the two things that seem to, now whether they implemented them or not, and whether they became as instrumental in their programs as it was with us, I think the two things that seemed to stand out with the other coaches that we did here, Keith, were the interviewing process that we had for our captains. You know, if you remember, they had to write a resume and a cover letter, give it to me, and then they interviewed in front of the entire staff. And, you know, if you remember, we had some tough questions. We had some tough, really difficult things for some of those kids that they had to essentially deal with in front of the entire staff. And I think that was something that seemed to resonate with the other coaches. Again, whether they implemented it and was instrumental with them as it was with us, I'm not sure. But, and then the other thing I think that really seemed to stand out was our Father's Day ceremony, where, you know, we had our seniors invite their dad. And it used to be that we invited them into the locker room before the last game. But then, you know, that got so emotional that evolved to where we were bringing them in on Friday nights. But I think the idea that we had our seniors pay tribute to the male figure in their life who was extremely important to them, and typically it was their dad, became a really neat thing for coaches to kind of latch on to. And I know Jim Hilbert has continued that tradition here. And so that seemed to be something that I think, again, seemed to resonate with the other coaches, because it was unique. I don't think other people were doing those things at the time, and they were things that built into the players and their development as men, and I think it prepared them for their professional futures in some respect. So those are two things that, I really think were helpful, or at least somewhat attractive to the other coaches that we had presented from our situation.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about both of those. I agree. Those are two great ones. I'm thinking of, and I know at some point I talked about that process here on the podcast. I can't remember exactly when. We'll try to find that one and put it in our show notes. But I know a couple highlights of looking for the captains in that way. Number one, the first time we did it, we kind of were not sure. I remember that first time, how these guys were going to come in. And I think we were, blown away by, number one, the guys who were applying. And some of them we thought maybe, why is this guy even putting his name in? But they showed up, suit and tie, great cover letter, great resume, and answered the tough questions. And we found out a lot about our team and the leadership of our team. And I would say, there were guys who we didn't expect certain things from and found, wow, this guy is really bought into what we do. And he might not be a captain, but he's certainly going to be a leader for us. So I thought that was an incredible process. Yes, it takes some time. We would always do that during our camp time and set aside a day for that. But I thought such a valuable thing for, number one, really putting a process to how you do pick your leaders, because you know this, a lot of young men, it becomes a popularity contest. So us having that process and being able to really see who should be the leaders of this team. And there was still, the vote and everything, but through that process, they were able to really show us a lot about the leadership we had developed and where our program was. And it was always a positive thing. So yeah, it's something I've recommended on here before. And like I said, John, I can remember some of those kids just not expecting that from them. And it was like they'd come in and finish, and we were like, all of us, we were like, wow, I didn't see that one coming from him.
Yeah, it was very telling, Keith. And I don't know if you remember, but the first year we did it, all the kids came somewhat dressed up, but only one the first year came in a suit and tie. And then the next year, I think all of them were in some form of suit and tie, or at least shirt and tie. So it was really amazing how it had progressed to, taken much more seriously. And I mean, the kids saw that one young man the first year come in a suit and tie, and I think that was impressive to them, and I think it said something that, hey, you know what, this is pretty serious. I need to make sure that I walk in there at least looking like I took it seriously. So I really think that was a great thing that we did. I can't take credit for it. It wasn't my idea. I can't remember exactly how we came upon that, but I thought it was an excellent process in our program.
And then the other one, the Father's Day, where we, honored the male figure in our player's life. It was always an emotional night. I wasn't there when you did it, before the game, but I could imagine how, you probably want to move that to the Friday night, because, I mean, these guys were just so honest and open about who their dad was to them and the importance of him. And, sometimes, especially as these kids grow older, they don't always necessarily, come out and say those kinds of things. But on that night, it was just incredible to see that in the bond between those fathers and sons. And it was always, I know very few dry eyes in the room on those nights, but just an incredible opportunity that you created to really, again, build on that family culture of our program, and to really, for these guys to be able to share, they're away at college all year long, but to be able to share, that last experience, and we usually did it, you know, before the last game, but what it's all meant to them and how important their father was to them through the whole process, through the time, you know, these guys would go all the way back from when they were young and all the way through college. So it was just another time when it was is impressive to see our young men and for them to just open up like that and communicate and, I guess, be vulnerable in a way, because our society doesn't necessarily always, you know, support that kind of, you know, sharing in a setting like that. But just an incredible night.
Yeah, Keith, I have to be honest. I'm sure you know, I never got through one of those balling my eyes out. It was, I'm getting emotional now just thinking about it. Obviously an emotional time for me. And you know what I really appreciate about those moments were, and the reality is, it was, for some of those kids, it was the first time that they really thanked their dad or told their dad that they love them. And I mean, that's a big moment in some people's lives. And especially for those dads who'd really never heard it from their kid. They probably knew that their kid loved them and appreciated them, but really never heard it from them. So those are really special, special moments. You know, the other thing that I think, if I can, you know, teams and programs talk about family and, you know, we're a family, but they never really do anything to incorporate family and to build that family bond. And I think that's one of the best things that we did to essentially incorporate family. You know, if we're going to be a family, let's incorporate the families and let's help or teach our kids what it is to appreciate family. And I think that ceremony or that tradition was one of the best ways to do just that. So we'll be forever grateful for, you know, that ceremony.
Definitely. And just so our listeners know, we did not forget about the moms either. We did a similar thing with the mothers where at our banquet, at our team banquet, end of the year banquet, the seniors would come up and in a very similar way talk about their mother and give her a rose. And so the mothers also took part in it too. And it's always, I guess, probably a little bit easier for those guys to talk about mom. So having that, you know, separate, kind of a little bit more intimate, private setting, players and their dads, probably was better for that. But we also did honor the moms and recognize the moms as well.
Yeah, we don't want to forget that, Keith. there'd be a lot of moms out there that wouldn't be too happy with us if we didn't mention that we didn't forget them.
That's right.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. John, I think this is something coaches can really look at. I mean, there's a lot of places you can go, a lot of clinics you can go. You're going to get a broad brushstroke, maybe not the fine details in some of those clinic talks that you need to, I guess, to go out and execute things. But I would recommend finding a way to do this. You know, you really didn't bring in anybody in our conference or potential competitors. You brought in people, you know, outside again. And I think that's important. Somebody outside your conference, could be somebody outside the state, whatever, but finding a way to bring those coaches in and have that kind of process that John shared. And again, think of it, you know, if you are right now an offensive line coach listening to this, you certainly can on your own go and implement this with some offensive line coaches out there. I mean, the internet and social media have made it so much easier to connect. So find some ways to do that. You know, sometimes I get it, you know, it's cost prohibitive or time prohibitive to be able to travel somewhere. But you certainly could look at things like Google Hangouts or using Zoom sessions or something like that to get these guys together, at least virtually and on your computer, and to be able to go through a process like this. So think about what you can do to have some of this deeper interaction with guys who are in the same situation as you so that you can learn more. And I think, John, that's the biggest thing, is that finding those guys who could contribute in a way that maybe that going to a clinic or, you know, digital learning can't do.
Yeah, Keith, you are so much further along technology-wise than I am, and you are, you know, and the younger coaches are as well. There are so many ways and opportunities to connect with other coaches that, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be in the exact, you know, the same room. obviously for me, I prefer having the coaches right there in the same room that we can look eye to eye and, you know, and spend that time together. But if you got coaches that are all over the country and it's difficult to bring everybody to the same, to one campus, well then, yeah, I think that's a great idea in order to connect with other coaches and essentially have a summit. You know, that would be a great way to be able to communicate to three or four different people all at the same time and not necessarily be on the same campus. So I would encourage coaches, and again, you know all the different ways that people are capable of doing those things. And again, I'm sure the younger coaches know those technology ways as well. So yeah, I hadn't even, back then, I hadn't even thought about doing it like that because, you know, again, I'm not technology advanced, but I do think that's a really good option for being able to get coaches together.
Yes, definitely, John. And the technical abilities you have or lack thereof could be a whole nother episode with some of the fun that we had with that. But I do.
You did make fun of me quite a bit.
I remember the one time, and I don't think we had, you know, any kind of map on our phones at the time. It was still maybe the end of the GPS era. And I said, you don't have a GPS, you have an MAP. And, you know, that you were that far behind. But John, I know you're still, you know, you're still involved in helping coaches and highly interested in what's going on in football and in the coaching community. So for our listeners who might want to reach out to you and maybe learn a little bit more or pick your brain about ideas to ask in one of these, could you share your contact information with them?
Yeah, I'd love to, Keith. Love to talk to coaches about any of this stuff at any point. My office number, 440-826-2069. Again, 440-826-2069 is my office. Email is jsnell, S-N-E-L-L, at BW. .edu. And I am on Twitter. I don't know my I think it's BWFB.
Yeah. I'll put it in our show notes so your Twitter is in there too. But yeah, that's probably the best way to get a hold of John is email or call his office. And Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time, and I'm sure I'll think of some other things that I want you to come back on and talk about as well, because as I said, you know, fortunate to be able to learn from and be in a great program that we had at Baldwin Wallace. So again, thank you for that. And thank you for your time today.
Keith, thank you. I appreciate you. I love you. And it's been an honor to be on your program. You do an awesome job with this. And I know there's a lot of people out there listening to your podcast and good reason for it, because you do an awesome job. So I appreciate it very much.
Well, as you look forward to 2020 and what you're going to do, you know, make sure that what you have isn't just a collection or a grab bag of plays. Have a system, fit things together. And, you know, that's something we've done in looking at contact, blocking, defeating blocks, as well as tackling, and have developed some systems at USA Football. And our systems are available at footballdevelopment.com. So go over there, check those out. We have our free shoulder tackle system, also known as the Hawk Tackle system, with 27 drills along with all the teach materials, our advanced tackling system, and our contact system for blocking and defeating blocks. And the best part about that, you know, you're probably saying, well, why do I need that right now? Well, it is designed to be able to start to implement some of these drills and teach these skills within the off-season program. This stuff does not have to wait till August when you break out the equipment. In fact, most of it is, or I should say all of it, is really done with, you know, shorts and t-shirts. There's a few things where we have some drills that are shown, or techniques that are shown with shoulder pads on, but for the majority of it, that is not necessary. You can block some different surfaces or get hand placement on, work footwork, work postures, all those kinds of things. Again, check it out at footballdevelopment.com, and then we will be kicking off our off-season content here soon, especially over on at FBDEV Coach on Twitter. Zach's going to have our Your Call there, our Learn From, Quote of the Day, all kinds of content will be appearing over there. So check those things out.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.